You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Frank Holmes. He's the CEO and Chief Investment Officer of U.S. Global Investors. That's a public company. Trades in on NASDAQ under the symbol GROW. He's also the Executive Chairman of Hive Blockchain Technologies, and that trades in Toronto under HIVE, I believe, and also on the NASDAQ under HVBT. Thanks for joining me again, Frank.
Jay, it's great to be with you.
It's good to have you here. And, you know, I was prepared to ask you some questions about Social Security and a bunch of sort of common things we talk about on this show, the financial situation, markets, interest rates, all that sort of thing. But then as we were ready to come on, you told me about something I wasn't aware of, and that has to do with Bitcoin and El Salvador, I guess. Would you care to share that with our listeners?
Yeah, El Salvador is a country that said they were going to make Bitcoin legal tender. That is, the currency be converted into a Bitcoin, like the U.S. dollar used to be able to convert into gold. And normally, you know, it would get lots of positive publicity, except for the concern is this narcos in that country. It's not like Paraguay, where they have green energy, and Paraguay has a conservative government as a banking system. So that was the big worry. And it's interesting that today was the big day and Bitcoin rallied over the weekend. It hit $52,000 and just got crushed down by $10,000 and all that positive publicity started off the morning and it just got crushed. And immediately that ecosystem and the crypto world is just the government. The U.S. and the EU, I've written about it, Jay, and I've talked about it, the G7 finance cartel, that as long as they can participate in their MMT, modern monetary theory of printing money collectively, then they don't have to worry about one country going currency affecting another. So all of someone comes El Salvador, and there's just no rational reason for it to break like that. And that crypto space, that ecosystem, is so diversified and global around the world. And I think it's really fascinating that they sound like GATA today.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of, hearing all the chatter that is government manipulation through the futures market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they created a futures market. I mean, there is a futures market for Bitcoin and I guess other cryptos as well, right? How about Ethereum?
Ethereum, both of Bitcoin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So just as the Gold Antitrust Action Committee has been telling us for years, you see these huge smackdowns all of a sudden in a matter of 10, 20 minutes. You know, $100 comes off the price of gold with massive paper contracts. Nothing real changing hands, just the futures markets, massive selling, and of course by central banks in the case of gold, according to GATA, and they have unlimited resources. They can create money out of thin air. The banking system can, and just smash the market. So is that kind of what you think might have happened today?
Well, that's what the crypto eco people say. You know, in hearing the chatter, and I think the big difference, you know, I'm trying to help with the gold investor. Here's the similarities between that crypto ecosystem and gold, is that gold historically has been the most decentralized private property, portable private property in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very important. It's portable. It's private property. It's like non-bearer bonds. We used to have them. Even your car, I mentioned, you can't drive your car without getting your updated license every year and your sticker for your car. So it's really
right.
Property. But gold is. You can take your bracelet off, your 24-karat gold jewelry, in many places around the world and get yourself out of a bad country or get yourself medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And so digital money, Bitcoin comes along, and Bitcoin is that same sort of thing. It's decentralized, and you can move it around. You can go from one country to the next easily or between two parties. And governments don't like that. They want to have everything centralized of which they can control. So you can see that most of the more left politicians, the more left they are more anti both gold and Bitcoin.
Right.
So they share some commonality here. And the big difference that I see is that gold investors like myself and yourself, we're there about preservation of our wealth from government printing of so much money and devaluing the currency over time. The crypto space is all about getting rich and being faster than the government's going to destroy your money.
Mm-hmm.
So one is motivated by sort of fear and is a sort of a fear trade, and the other one is a greed trade. And that's the big difference I see with young millennials. And we see that in our ETFs, like we talked about in your program before about JETS. It really got discovered by the millennials.
Yes.
And GoAU, it was the millennials that bought it because it's a quant gold product. They like the idea of the quant approach. And that's the big difference. One is to get rich, be faster than what the government is doing, and the other one is saying, I can't stop what the government's doing, but I can preserve my wealth by having some gold exposure and rebalancing every year.
Right. Well, is it fair to say, Frank, that gold you can put in your pocket, you can't do that so easily with Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Well, yeah, that's true. But what you can do is you can put it in your pocket with a little chip. You know, you can.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think the nicest part is you can't wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And 60% of all gold demand globally is for love.
Yes.
Trade is still so critical. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bitcoin, you need electricity. You don't need electricity to be able to move your gold around, but you need electricity to move your Bitcoin around.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in your letter you quoted John Paulson with regard to Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies in general, perhaps it was. He said eventually that cryptocurrencies will eventually prove to be worthless, end of quote. What do you think? I mean, you're involved, and I want to ask you about Hive, because it was a profitable company last year, at least. I don't know how it's doing this year. Maybe you can comment on that. But how do you answer John Paulson then?
Well, this is old school of thought, and I like to give the example of diamonds. In 1947, after World War II was finished, all the soldiers are coming back, and Eisenhower came up with the big plan to rebuild Europe. At the same time, interstate highways across America, mapping out 25,000 miles. That put all the men back to work. And also, that gave big disposable income, and then all these young men wanted to get married. And out of nowhere, De Beers contacts, they form a cartel. They control the supply of diamonds. There's a big discovery in South Africa. They get to control that. And then they go and hire heirs in New York and Madison Avenue to go and create a program of a new form of trust.
Uh-huh.
And that's what gold is about. Gold is about trust, and that you value and you trust it. So all of a sudden, this intangible thing called love gets validated by a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
It's something intangible is validated by something tangible. Mm-hmm. Diamonds go from $10 to $100 to $1,000 to $10,000 a carat. And then De Beers did it again in 1965 in Japan. And if you look at the data points, only 2% of Americans were using diamonds to get engaged with. And now it's 80%. And the same thing is with Japan. It was a very small component, less than 5%. And now it's 75% of Japanese women expect to get a diamond ring if this guy's going to wants to engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can trust that, this piece of rock, 4 tetrahedral shaped carbon, then why can't you trust Bitcoin? It was decentralized. And so if you get enough people to believe it, and there's capped at 21 million coins, that's like capping gold at 21 million ounces, and enough people trust it, it goes to gigaland in prices.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Metcalfe's law suggests, and that's what's been occurring. But it's going to be very volatile on that path. So I think the operative word, like, do you trust government policies that they will enhance the value of the dollar over time? They will devalue the dollar.
Of course, yes.
And so once you believe that, then what's your protection from that? And one is being an early investor in great new ideas, a disruptive technology, or making sure you have exposure to the world of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And now comes along Bitcoin mining and Ethereum mining. And what the advantage we have right now is that when we go raise money and spend it, we can get immediate cash flow and revenue that takes a lot longer with all the regulations against gold mining. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable over the past 30 years to see how difficult it is to explore, to process and move a brick of gold.
Yeah, it just seems to me, though, that whereas you talk about the diamonds and also about Bitcoin, it seems to me more artificial in a way, though, than gold and silver, too, to a lesser extent. Those over thousands of years, the marketplace, I think, determined that those items were transferable means of wealth. It just seems to me, maybe I'm the old school, along with Paulson and some other people we know, but the idea that somehow you've manufactured this demand rather than it, just occurring organically.
I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago called The Metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
Zuckerberg used the word many times. There's a book written in 92, and where they first talked about crypto money and the idea of living in the metaverse. It's like the Matrix. You take the red pill or the blue pill. Do you want to see reality or you don't want to see reality? And that metaverse is part of that digital money experience. And you have to embrace it because you and I are going to pass our wealth on to our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a complete different view of the world. So I don't think my boys were, I don't know if your son was, but big in gaming. But gaming is now an NCAA sport. So
I guess it's that old proverbial issue of when you get old, it's hard to change. And I'm 74, Frank, and I have a little difficulty with some of these concepts. But I do acknowledge that we do have to change, and things are changing and changing very rapidly. It seems to me concepts of what money is. I mean, this metaverse thing just seems so wacky to me, but I know it's coming.
We're in it now. Digital money is all part of that.
Yeah.
And what is surreal and real? And I think it's all, fascinating. The magic is to try to be ahead of it. So I've always advocated this 10% weighting minimum in gold or rebalance once a year. And if you want to play the volatility, you could do once a quarter. And then at least 2% into Bitcoin, Ethereum. And the safest, cleanest way is to use Hive as a proxy. And I thought that because we're much more volatile. You wouldn't want to have a diversified portfolio with the DNA of volatility of crypto.
But yeah.
For time, it makes higher highs. And there is a big push for digital money because the government wants it. What we all have to recognize is history. And you talk about old guys like you and I. Well, the Medicis were involved in the creation of double entry accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is profound, along with the Doge at in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed for the creation of banking. And that allowed for the demographics of a middle class. So if you look back, the middle class, the haves versus the have-nots, and the haves never want to share anything with the have-nots. They want them all to live in serfdom, like slaves.
Yeah.
But along comes the banking that starts funding a middle class, and they start creating businesses, and it grows. Well, what we're dealing with now is blockchain is triple entry accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big game changer. That is this whole debate in Georgia over the elections and voting. If it was put on the blockchain, it's perfect because you would be able to know who voted, where they voted, when they voted. But you wouldn't be able to, any of the public could see all of that. But no one could see that it was your name, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's kept confidential.
Mm-hmm.
So from a voting point of view, blockchain is phenomenal. And from because of this concept of triple entry accounting, because you have something that is time stamped and is transparent, except for your private property rights, you the person.
Right.
And And so I think that this is how things are evolving. And a lot of these young kids, they buy into gold, the concept of it. And I think that they believe that like gaming, they're going to be able to make more money faster if they're playing in the front end of this change rather than the back end.
And so governments, so you see a movement, an inevitable movement towards cryptocurrencies as with governments having control of them, Frank?
The government, there's no doubt the government is trying to slow it down so they could come out with their own. Take a look at J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan knocked crypto religiously in 2017 and 2018. They stopped in February 2019 when they launched their own cryptocurrency called a stablecoin. Stopped it. Facebook was knocking. They wouldn't let you advertise on it. Anything with crypto couldn't talk about it. And so they came up with their own coin called Libra. Well, if you want to see a case study of government intervention, take a look at Facebook's Libra coin. As soon as they announced that, Bitcoin jumped from 6,000 to 14,000, and then the G20 and the Bank of International Settlements did just an incredible pile on that. They beat up Zuckerberg, and now they changed the name from Libra to Diem, D-I-E-M. And they don't want that guy to have an independent cryptocurrency, Facebook to be this sort of decentralized mechanism. So the governments are scared because they're trying to come up with their own, and they're just slow at getting the technology. The most advanced, it appears, is China. And China doesn't want a Bitcoin either, so they threw all the Bitcoin miners out of their country, but because they're coming up with their own digital currency, and they want to support it with gold, so they've been the biggest buyers of gold. And so digital money allows governments to actually tax better. They can tax every tip, every transaction. Yeah. A couple of years ago, we had one of our analysts in China, and he couldn't get toothpaste or toothbrush with a credit card or cash. He had to have like WeChat, like iPay on your telephone to pay. But no one would accept cash or credit cards. They're old school.
So, is that widespread in China now?
Yeah, widespread. So China skipped telephone lines and went right to mobile telephones. So China skipped a lot of old construction and basically came out with new speed rails, the most advanced technology in having a speed rail. So I think that this is the same thing here. And the other countries like the U.S. and Canada and the British, they all want to be able to have digital money of some form.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the question then is, how does one play it? You know, you're suggesting that Hive, and as I look at Hive, the share price hasn't been all that volatile as compared to, say, BTG, whatever that that ETF is that you can buy Bitcoin with. It hasn't been all that volatile, has it, Frank? I mean, and no, you've made money. It's been a profitable company.
It's extremely volatile. The daily volatility is 7%. Tesla is 6. Bitcoin is 5. Gold and the stock market's 1.
Hive is very volatile.
Very volatile. But the nice part is that our revenue has been growing. We keep putting reports out and we keep buying more equipment. I think our total inventory before the correction today was worth $130 million of cash and cryptocurrencies. And we're mining. Our run rate is over 600,000 a day. No, we're doing about 300 million a year now, run rate. You know how long that would take to do that in a gold stock? It's really hard to fathom it, but it is throwing off tremendous amounts of revenue. And the other big part is that what we think is, you know, this idea of digital everything, these data centers, we're buying our own, building them. Our GPU chips from NVIDIA are very valuable, not just mining Ethereum, but for all quant trading, all AI research for cancer, any other data controls, whether they're trying to monitor for smart cities or traffic or people buying beer or a Twitter account, all uses AI. They all need those GPU chips to try to figure things out. So we feel at Hive we have a unique position for long-term growth.
Frank, with just a few minutes left here, I see 3 minutes. My my engineer is telling me. I believe that Hive made a profit of $28.5 million or something like that last year. Is that right?
Yeah, we're waiting to get our financials filed the next 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty public. You know, you can calculate how much you're going to make almost to the T. And we'll have a banner year. The end of March should be banner. And so I'm very tickled by, you know, we'll shock the street. Try to tell people, but it's public. Anyone that has a good analytical model, you can download every day our hashing power, and you mm-hmm. can calculate, you know, with a 10% confirmation what our revenue and cash flow is going to be.
Yeah.
So I'm very thrilled by it. I'm thrilled what we've been doing with it. I just came back from a week being in the Arctic, up in northern Sweden, 100 miles from the North Pole. I'm very, very excited about what we're doing with it.
Is that where you're mining up there?
Yeah, we're mining Ethereum.
Uh-huh. All the way up there.
All the way up there because it's cold air. It's always cold air. And it's only green. So one of the things that Hive did from day one is to have an ESG strategy and only mine green and clean coins. Where most of these other companies now, they run out and buy carbon tax credits to offset their carbon footprint. Not us. We're free from that. And that can cost you an extra $5,000 to $7,000 a coin. So I'm happy where we are positioned.
Frank, this is really interesting. And I think I'd like to invite you back sometime just to talk about Hive and educate our listeners a little bit more about it. You know, we're gold bugs primarily. But, you know, I think this is a very necessary topic and one we should all know more about. If you're willing to come on, I'd love to have you back sometime just to focus on that.
Ask your son. Your son's a very bright guy, you know, young man, and he's going to know about that space. So I had to learn through my son, Jay.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
We have friends that have a network that's very different than their network.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That is absolutely true. They live in a different world than I do, that's for sure. Frank, it's so good to have you back, and we could have talked about the normal things, sort of the boring things about Social Security and debt and, you know, all this stuff, but this is really interesting, and I'm really thankful that you could be with us today, so thank you very much,
thank
and we'll look to do it again, and hopefully about Hive. Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Take
all right, care. Frank. Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Michael Oliver is back, along with Dr. Quentin Henning. He'll be here to talk about SK Mining. They're onto a VMS deposit that looks very much like SK Creek, the SK Creek mine, the famous mine. Also, Tabe Costa and Kevin Smith of Crescat Capital will be with me for the first time. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
NV Gold Corporation, trading under NVX on the TSX and NVGLF on the OTCQB, is a gold exploration company focused on uncovering the next multi-million ounce gold deposit in Nevada with an aggressive exploration season ahead in 2021, a tight share structure, strong management ownership, key strategic investors, a globally recognized technical team, report coverage from industry gold experts, and a strong treasury. Visit NVGoldCorp.com to learn more on this exciting story.